Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week, once again, we're going to be painting a picture of the art market with all its complexities. We're delving into the Art Basel and UBS Global Art Market Report 2018 in the company of its author, one of Art Basel's directors, and one of our regular panellists from UBS Wealth Management. We start by welcoming Claire McAndrew, the report's author, who joined up with Art Basel in 2016. Claire's also the founder of Arts Economics, and alongside her, Noah Horowitz, the director of Art Basel Americas. This week we're talking about the Art Basel and UBS Global Art Market Report. This is a theme that we've touched upon in previous iterations, but I'm nothing short of delighted to welcome Claire McAndrew and Noah Horowitz here to tell us a bit more about it. And Claire, perhaps we'll come to you first of all. Really interesting kind of main takeaways from the report this year. It's obviously very difficult to try and get into this level of granular detail if you're looking at something like the global art market, but you're the past master. What's a couple of the standout things from the report this time around?
I suppose the good news on an industry-wide level is the market grew last year in 2017, so it's up 12% to nearly $64 billion. And that's after a couple of years of declining sales, so it really turned a corner. I think we've seen a little bit more economic growth in some areas, a growth in global wealth, particularly at the high end. Financial markets did fairly well in some cases, and generally more consumer confidence and better supply. It's a very supply-driven marketplace, and all of these things fed into growth in the art market. All of the major countries did very well, and regions and sectors did fairly well. But in these studies that I do, that are very high-level, industry-wide studies, they do mask a little bit about what's going on underneath. So if you do dissect down into certain segments, not everybody performed that well. So it's the very much the high end has been driving a lot of the growth over the last few years.
Noah Horowitz, you're the Director Americas for Art Basel. Maybe just tell us a bit about how useful this sort of research is, because obviously it is a challenge, isn't it, to master all of the complexities, particularly when there's so many different geographic international dimensions to it. It must be a wonderful resource to pore over and to scrutinize.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's exactly why we, in partnership with UBS, are so committed to producing this kind of research from a thought leadership standpoint. Claire has been extensively involved in producing similar studies for many years now. And one of the talking points with Claire early on in our engagement with her was to try to get her to work more expansively across the gallery and dealer segment to do more granular research into the viability of businesses, debt ratios, all these kinds of things. And I think for our audience, these are incredibly important things, because when you scale that information globally across all the tens of thousands of galleries and businesses that exist in our industry, which is broadly composed of many small to medium-sized businesses, you start seeing certain trends arising. And for us, the more we can get behind good information that's well-researched and put it out there in the world, we truly feel that market constituents on a whole will be better served because of that information, will be better informed for future decisions. And you see a lot of that more than ever in Claire's research and report this year.
Let's look at a couple of other findings. It's interesting in terms of the leading markets, Claire, and I think this was something we perhaps talked about last year as well. China in second place, I think, overtaking the United Kingdom. Is that the first? I don't know if that's just happened.
It is. There's been a lot of reshuffling. I mean, the US is the clear leader, and the margin that the US has now is above 20% between it and the other countries. So the US was 42% share by value. But there's been a bit of reshuffling with the UK and China in terms of second and third place, and China did just by a small margin make it into second place. In fairness to the UK, the report's measured in dollars, so there is currency issues there. I think if the pound was in a slightly better place,
let's not get into the detail of that one. Yeah,
I mean that's people are asking me what's the effect of Brexit. I mean that's one of the biggest effects in reports like this is some of the currency issues. Mm. But I think currencies aside, Europe and the UK, if you look at the 10-year growth, are still not as big as they were 10 years ago. So other countries have really recovered better. The UK has been the fastest growing within Europe, but it's still, since the kind of recession in 2009, it's grown at about half the pace of the US and much slower than China. So although there is some currency issues and there's things in this kind of reshuffling around, Europe has been more stagnant than regions outside it.
And now, is there any kind of a pivot? Obviously, a brand which I'm sure our listeners are familiar with, are Basel, very international in character, almost by definition. When you talk to you and your colleagues, obviously your focus presumably remains squarely on the Americas, which is this sort of leading by numbers. But is there an awareness of the sort of the critical importance of that kind of joined up international thinking and to reflect on the opportunities, I guess, in some of these other, well, they are still emerging markets?
Sure. Well, I mean, my focus within our organization is America's, just given the nature of my role within Art Basel and leading our show in Miami Beach. Nevertheless, as you correctly point out, I mean, we're an incredibly global organization with shows in Switzerland now approaching 50 years, Hong Kong just past 5 years, Miami was 16 years. I mean, these established shows now, we see a lot more cross-pollination across the entire infrastructure with collectors increasingly coming from Asia to Basel and Miami. We've noted since the beginning of this year a huge uptick already in private collectors, museum professionals, advisors, the media from the U.S. now going to Hong Kong in 2 weeks. So those developments are extraordinary and rewarding as well. Beyond that is the interactions between the galleries and their artists. I think one of the true things that we're most proud about at our shows is when we see younger galleries that meet each other at the shows, and all of a sudden a young German artist is showing in a gallery in Beijing, or a Brazilian artist is now working with a gallery in Los Angeles or London. And I think that doesn't get well mapped out in research like Claire's per se when you're just looking at more of the numbers. But I mean, that's clearly an important and integral aspect of what the Art Fair platform now can provide to the market and to its constituents.
And Claire, that is interesting to pick up on that. There's both the data and lots of anecdotal evidence about art fairs specifically. And obviously, you know, with Noah talking from such a position of knowledge on that, we always look forward a great deal, of course, to the various iterations of Art Basel at Monocle. And we like to visit and sort of dip into that extraordinary environment, really. Still incredibly important for the whole global business as well.
Absolutely. I mean, there was a sense maybe a few years ago that the art fairs might be kind of plateauing in terms of sales and things like that, but that really hasn't happened. They grew 17% last year, and this is based on the dealer surveys, and they're now 46% of sales that dealers make by value are through art fairs, and 48% through the gallery. So a lot of galleries saying it's just like running another gallery, but all the kind of cost and the hassle and expense and everything of going to fairs, but it's generating them similar returns as well. So they're still a critical part of sales, not just sales at the fair, but part of exhibition and ongoing sales for the rest of their business all year round. So there's still, it's just not going away. It's more important than ever, really.
We'll have more from Claire and from Noah in just a moment. But next, I want to bring in Mike Ryan, Chief Investment Strategist for UBS Wealth Management Americas. Mike Ryan, we've been hearing from Claire and from Noah about the big picture here. Can you just give us a sense of the enduring value of research like the Global Art Market Report, and maybe put that into some context for us? Why is UBS interested and continues to be interested in producing and working with people like Claire and Noah on making data like this available? What's the long game?
Well, I would say the long game is the interest that investors have in art. We service some of the most important individual investors in the world. As you well know, UBS does business with more billionaires than any other wealth manager. And if you think about who the patrons of the arts are, quite often it is ultra high net worth individuals. It's folks who've done extraordinarily well in terms of, you know, creating financial wealth. And they have a passion for arts. These are people who see themselves as patrons of the arts. They also see them as cultural ambassadors trying to make sure that they promote arts culture throughout either their geographic region or even globally. So I think it is important to them. I think we also understand, of course, that art has investment value as well. While most of the clients who we surveyed didn't say that they specifically invested in art typically to seek financial gain, we do, however, recognize that's part of the asset portfolio that the clients have accumulated in addition to the financial wealth they've generated. So for us, it's part of this discussion, part of the conversation we have with our own clients with regard to the things that matter to them in their lives, the assets they've accumulated, the purpose they want that those assets to serve and that wealth to serve, and the things that they want to leave behind in terms of legacy for the next generation.
And this is the shared passion. You mentioned that word again there, and enthusiasm, fascination with art more broadly. I mean, there's also an overlay, I guess, isn't there? It's a compelling narrative that you need to master to help serve your clients. But there's also, this is something that you and your colleagues within UBS are deeply passionate about. I know we've spoken before about what it's like to go to events like Art Basel globally and just be part of that extraordinary dynamism. I mean, it must be a great thing to have a foot in that camp as well.
It is. Well, first of all, I would say that it's in our DNA in UBS. I mean, we've been very active in the arts communities for a generation now. And we've been, first of all, UBS has a large art collection ourselves, so we have a lot of experience and expertise in the art world. As I said before, we also find the value in art. It promotes cultural exchange, is a great way of changing the way people view the world and thinking. So for us, in many ways, art can be liberating. Art is certainly a way also of expressing values. Individuals can express values by the way they collect art. Others can express their values in terms of how they promote the arts as well. So I do think art is critical. And for us, we don't view it as separate and distinct from the things that we do. As you and I have talked about repeatedly, Tom, one of the things that we do is we look to serve the interests of our clients. And we recognize, of course, that our clients themselves have very varied interests. But clearly, there's a subset of our client base and our investors that have gravitated to the arts. They view it as something that's important in their lives, as I said before, important in their community. And we at UBS believe that promoting the arts, being involved, actively involved with the arts, being involved in programs like Art Basel, which we're the principal sponsorship of, these things are critically important to us as an organization.
Mike Ryan. Still with me are Claire McAndrew and Noah Horowitz. Noah, if we cast an eye towards the future and look at some of the key, I guess, challenges and opportunities, in some ways the two are inextricably linked often, using the report as well as the sort of ammunition to look to that, how would you sum up, you know, where we're at? There's some really encouraging numbers. What preoccupies you? I mean, in terms of the things you're most excited about, but maybe also more wary about or challenges you know you're going to need to
sure.
be meeting.
Well, I mean, I think one of the key findings from the research this year that Claire put forward is quite extraordinary is, you know, there's a lot of discussion within our field right now about the shakiness of the smaller and mid-sized gallery infrastructure. And one of the key findings from the report was that although, you know, there have been some notable gallery closures over the past year, in fact, the rate of gallery closures over the last year or so is not really any greater than it's been over the last decade per se, although there have been some notable ones. But the key finding is actually the number of gallery openings is substantially smaller in the last year than it was, say, 10 years ago. I think the number that Claire found was that in 2007, there was a 5-to-1 ratio of openings to closings. Last year, it was a little less than one, meaning that in 2017, there were actually slightly more closings than there were openings. As an organization that fundamentally serves galleries and their artists, that's something that we're keenly focused on. And I think for us, at Art Basel, it merely underscores the responsibility that we have to truly deliver at all aspects of what we do to serve our galleries and the collectors and institutions that come to our fair in the best possible way. And that's obviously through sales, but we need to ensure that the exposure, the contacts, connections are meaningful and continue to perpetuate. Because in the end, our platform is only successful, if we can flow back business to these galleries and wherever they reside 365 days a year. And that's scoped through our three shows, but it has to flow organically. And I think we will be doing a lot more focusing on that as we have done for many years in the future. And it's exactly why we support this kind of research, because we couldn't possibly know all of that without working with somebody like Claire, who is really spelling this out and offering that. And the report is free. I mean, it's available to anybody that wants to download it. And we really hope that anybody that's meaningfully and professionally engaged in the art world is reading this and taking action.
We like a call to action. So get involved. Do download the report. In there, you'll find it in a sort of introductory remarks from Paul Donovan, who's a good friend of ours on the program from UBS, the chief economist in global wealth management. He quotes a well-known William Morris notion, this idea, have nothing in your houses you do not know to be useful or believe to be beautiful, suggesting that, you know, there's a divide between, you know, art and economics. But he sort of rubbishes that and says, look, it's not a division. You have to understand these things holistically. And maybe, Claire, just finally, I guess the report also serves, doesn't it, to remind us of that. You know, there's critical business and economic considerations in here as well, and it's a mistake to try and separate them out too explicitly.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very big, very global business, so it's very easy to see why it's sparked the interest of economists and the financial sector as well. But apart from just focusing on the sales, it generates very high value, extensive employment, not just in the market itself, but it has a lot of ripple effects. If you look at events like fairs, they generate a huge amount of business in the cities that host them, and there's a lot of those positive effects from the art market itself. Very, very high skilled niche industries that have built up around it too, and you know, this is the problem when sales start to shift. Maybe for example from Europe to China, it's not just that the sales are shifting; it's that over time those benefits that go with it can shift as well. And it's a very important economic contributor, and this is a key part of the report as well, as looking at the economic impact.
Claire and Noah, thank you both very much for being here.
Thank you.
And that brings us to the end of this 180th edition of the Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance each week here on Monocle 24. Head to ubs.com and search UBS and Art to find out more and to download the whole report. It comes highly recommended. In the meantime, you can listen again at monocle.com, find out more at ubs.com, or catch up with other episodes via your preferred podcast platform. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.